One of my favorite television shows is a long-running series called Forged in Fire. Now, in this television show, Forged in Fire, they bring together people who are artisans, bladesmiths from all over the country, and they compete in making knives, swords, other implements to hold their pastors in check, or maybe for the pastors to prod their church people into action. No, it's not so much a theological pursuit as it is on this television show, a place where they celebrate ones who are great masters of making things from the cold, hard metal into beautiful works of craftsmanship using fire to inspire the movement, the flexibility of the metal, and to make it into something more glorious than it had been. Now, an important part in the forge process when these people are making knives or swords is once they finish shaping the metal, once they finish putting it into the design that they like, one of the last processes they do, they take the knife, the object, from the heat, from the fire, and then they will perform a task called quenching the blade. And to quench the blade, they take the blade and they place it down into an oil bath, and it cools the blade. It ends the shaping process. No longer can it be formed into something of beauty. Once it is cooled, it is permanently assembled in the form that the craftsman has placed upon it. Well, that's how forging works. There's an important process to the craftsman embraces. And once the quench is performed, everything ends. In our text today, you may have heard as Paul was speaking to the church in Thessalonica, he said this to those people of faith, and certainly it probably applies to us as people of faith. He says this, do not quench the Spirit. Now let's use that word quench that Paul has given to us today and apply it to that forging process that I shared with you as an example of making metal objects. Remember what I said? Once the quench occurs, the heat rescinds and no more action transpires. Friends, maybe what Paul is saying to us, it's important for us as people of faith to remember that it is the fire of the Holy Spirit that inspires. The master craftsman above can mold us and make us into something more glorious, much like the master bladesmith, but even in a far greater capacity. But Paul's warning is for each of us. Let's not quench. Let's not put ourselves into that oil bath. Let's not stop the work of the Holy Spirit as He continues to reshape us into a more perfect, not perfect, into a more perfect reflection of children of God. You see, Paul is saying, we need the Master. We need the gift, the power, the flames of the Holy Spirit to shape us more in the image of Jesus Christ. Paul gives us some examples. He gives us guidance of how we don't quench the Spirit, of how we don't put cool water on what God is doing for us. He goes on in the text to say, hold fast to everything that's good. And turn away from everything that's evil. In other words, Paul's saying, don't sin. Try to live in the image of Jesus Christ. Try to embrace His love as you serve the world for His glory. Turn from the things, as we prayed this morning, that beautiful prayer of confession that we used. As we prayed this morning, it says, you know, God, I confess that I've often done stuff I shouldn't have done. And I haven't done things that I should have done. You see, that's what Paul is saying to us today. Hold fast to what you should do. And don't do the stuff you shouldn't do so that you won't quench cold water on the work of the Spirit in your life. Now let's break all this down a little bit. Let me share some personal stories with you. Because it's easy for us to say as Christian people and people of faith in general that we shouldn't sin. There's things that we don't need to do. And there's things that we do need to do. But you know, for me as a young person, when I got really excited about my faith, started through church camp and growing and was even considering a call to ministry, I really, at that point in my life, really wanted to take my sinfulness seriously. And I knew, like the commandments say to us and like our text today, there were things that I didn't need to do. And there were things that I did need to do. And when I simply tried not to sin, just to keep from sinning, I failed miserably. Seemed like I sinned all the more. You see, what happened was I really hadn't bought in to the faith. I just knew as a child of God, once saved by His grace, I needed to try to be obedient. But I didn't understand that God is calling me not to sin, not for simply God's glory, but for my benefit. God was saying, Jody, this is a gift to you. You see, that's what Paul is saying in our text today, as he says even to us, these are the words he said in our scripture, this is God's gift to you in Christ. Don't quench the Spirit. You see, think of it this way. I know most all of us listening there today at some point in our life has been on a diet. Or at least aspired to go on a diet. And for most of us, whether it's working out, doing what we should do, right? Those are the things that we want to do. Or resisting the things we don't want to do. Like staying away from too much chocolate. That's one of my struggles. Here's the deal. On that diet, many of us know what it takes to lose weight. The problem is usually, have we bought into really wanting to lose weight? Do we really want to change our lifestyle? We usually know what it takes, it's just whether we want to do it. Well, I've struggled with that before too, as I know many of you have. But you know what makes the difference to my health? When I do want to exercise like Kenny and run, when I do want to lift weights like Luke and exercise my body, when I do want to push back that extra piece of cake, you know what inspired me to do that? It's when I realized, hey, I feel better when I exercise. I have more energy when I don't eat too much junk food. I have more joy in my life when I'm not overweight. You see, that was the difference for me to appreciate physical fitness. I truly bought into understand I would have a better life if I took better care of my body. You see, that happens physically. And I think that's also the lesson spiritually for us today that Paul is saying. There's things we don't need in our spiritual body we need to resist. There's things we need to take on in our spiritual body we need to do more of, like exercising our muscles or resisting too much chocolate, resisting the sins, the things that separate us from God. Why? For our benefit and the glory of the Father and the benefit of the world around us. You see here, here's what Paul begins our text with today. He begins the text, the very first verse that I shared with you today, with two words. Rejoice always. And on this day, this thematic day of Advent, where my family lit the candle and we celebrate the gift of joy, Paul begins this by saying to us, This call to our faith is a gift of God for our joy. We know our most joy-filled existence when we walk most closely with our God. See, that's the essence of what Paul is saying to us today. To not quench the Spirit is to know the joy of our salvation. And friends, I want to end us with this. Not only does Paul say what we don't need to do, but Paul calls us once again to one of the most important ingredients of not quenching the Holy Spirit of our life. It's to be people of worship. It's to be people who gather on Sabbath day as you all are, electronically and virtually. It's by every day having our time of prayer and intimacy with God. And that prayer, as Paul says, pray without ceasing. That's the second verse in our text. And he says, finally, most importantly, give thanks in all things. See, friends, here's what I receive in our message today. For me not to quench the work of the Spirit, for me not to put cold water on the flames of what God can do in my life, there are things I don't need to do. I need to turn from my sinfulness. I need to embrace more of a call to serve God's love. But most of all, I need to be a person of thanksgiving, a person of worship. I promise you, dear friends, this isn't preacher talk. This isn't even Advent talk or just a sermon. This is a guy who's lived this journey of faith and has learned that my greatest joy in life, I found what puts the smile on my face the most is when I strive to live by these principles of Paul, as he shared with us today. Don't do, Jody, the things you shouldn't do. Do, Jody, the things you should do, and in everything, regardless of the circumstances, continually give thanks to the God who saved us and claimed us as his own. If you embody those principles, friends, you will know the joy of your salvation this day more fully and forevermore. Amen. I want us to share now a prayer time for the prayers of the people that we've listed up in worship. And then we will share our Apostles' Creed before we end our time in worship. Let us pray together. Almighty God, as your church, you have called us to serve one another, to share one another's concerns, to lift up one another's joys. And what a great gift it is as all of us are worshiping together. We are your church right now. We pray for friends and family. We pray for Deborah and Wayne, as Judy just posted there. We pray for Linda Brock, and Kathy posted. We've got friends listening from all over North Mississippi, East Tennessee, throughout our nation this day. We pray for each of those. Most of all, we pray for our dear family of Elvin Huddleston today, for comfort for them. We pray for all those that I mentioned earlier who are going through illnesses and sicknesses. We ask for miracles of grace be poured out in their lives. As we all pray for each other and with one another right now, God, will you receive our prayers? Whether the needs for each of us be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational, you are the physician that brings healing and wholeness. I lift up specifically my sons today, Noah and Luke. They have a big week ahead of them. Pray for your family, your children, your parents, your grandchildren, as we all pray together. I know we have wants in our lives, each of us right now. And God, our prayers together for each other, if our wants can be consistent for your need for our life, will you open the floodgates of heaven? Will you pour forth grace beyond what we could even ask or expect, bringing mercy and providence into our life? We pray for your church. Yes, we pray for this specific ministry at Ripley Presbyterian as we serve this community and each of you through virtual worship. But we pray for the church universal, even as we say in our Apostles' Creed, the Holy Catholic Church. That means the church of Jesus Christ throughout the world, regardless of denomination or location. Will you inspire and empower your people as light in your world? Will you help us to make this world more joy-filled by being more Christ-filled? We pray for our nation. We ask for healing. This land has been through many battles, and we continue to be a great gift of your love, 200 years more than that after the beginning. God, you've never given up on us, and you won't now. Will you see us through this current time of turmoil in our land and separation? Will you bring unity and healing and wholeness to people who disagree, and even those who are enemies? We search and we seek for your continued healing upon our land, economically, universally, spiritually, that we may serve one another and focus what we hold in common more than anything we disagree or are separated about. We pray, O God, for the sick, the hurting, the lonely, the lost, all those who need your grace in an abundant way. We ask that you lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of your grace. And we pray for ourselves. Each of us praying right now, God, we have special concerns, wants, desires in our lives. We hear those prayers as we lift them up for each other and with one another. And finally, we join our voices and say together the words you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.